Ali alayhi salam, no doubt was the voice of human justice. This was the title of a book by a Christian, not a Muslim, a Christian by the name of George Jordak, and the book is available online for everybody to read. He wrote a book about Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he called him the voice of human justice. Because every single human being in the world will always love justice and they'll always hate injustice. Come to any human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, they'll always say to you that we hated that moment of injustice. Even on the most trivial level, why did that referee make that decision? That was so unjust. You see the word that you use? Instead of going into a philosophical discussion on the most basic level in our humanity, if a judge gives a decision against somebody, you say, I think that judge was unjust, to tell you the truth. I don't think he gave a fair trial. Notice that the words that are normally associated with justice are words such as fairness. You either say that person's just or you say that that person's fair. But apart from George Jordak's book on Imam Ali's justice, the reality is, in the history of human thought, most people associated with definitions of justice are, in reality, non-Muslim. There aren't many books written about great Muslim thinkers and their conception of justice. Arguably, the most famous work on justice in history was Plato's Republic. The reality is, Imam Ali's Nahj al-Balagha is not as famous as Plato's Republic. If you go to any street in the West today and you ask them, have you heard of Plato? They'll say yes. You ask them, have you heard of Imam Ali? They'll say, who's that? That injustice is something we want to correct today. Excuse the pun. That we want to correct the injustice that's been done, that a man like Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is the voice of adala, is little known about in Western philosophical circles. Today, when a person discusses justice in Western philosophy, say you went to the University of Toronto, or you went to the University of New York, or you went to Oxford or Cambridge, they'll discuss Plato, they'll discuss Socrates, they'll discuss, for example, Rawls. But nobody will discuss Imam Ali, justice within Nahj al-Balagha. When the reality is one of the main discussions, not just within Nahj al-Balagha, but within the religion of Islam, is on justice. It's as if justice is part of our innate primordial nature. When I see a moment of zulm, I'm like, you know what? I hate that. I don't need to be a Muslim. And listen, Nelson Mandela, when he faced oppression, or when the people in South Africa faced oppression, you didn't need to be a Christian to feel the pain of apartheid in South Africa. You could just be a human being, but within yourself as a human being, it's as if a cardinal virtue, if I were to use the words of Aristotle, that there are four cardinal virtues that normally people refer to, and amongst them, one of the main cardinal virtues that we have is justice. Is that we as human beings seek a world of justice. But the reality is that one of the main issues we've always sought to define is A, what is justice? B, how do I see moral justice? C, how do I practically apply justice? D, why should I be just? Why do I have to be just? Why can't I have moments of injustice? Why do I always have to seek to establish justice? You'll see, therefore, that that is what has grappled the minds of the greatest thinkers. I remember Aristotle had a saying, which is one of the most beautiful sayings I'll ever come across. He said, there is one path which is difficult and 1,000 paths which are easy. The one path which is difficult is justice. The other 1,000 easy paths, if you get through that one part, the others all begin to pave the way themselves. What do we mean? The most difficult thing that you seek to establish in this world is justice. It's not easy. Why? Because everybody also has within their soul selfish desires, which means they don't mind being economically unjust to someone. They don't mind being even socially unjust to someone. If you're in my way and I want to get to the big position, I don't mind making a rumor about you to destroy your reputation. My soul, as you'd find in the discussions of the likes of Socrates and Plato, my soul is made up of reason, but it's also made up of desires, it's made up of appetites. And really, how I achieve justice is how I align these different faculties of my soul. Am I allowing one faculty to come above another, or am I allowing them to align themselves with one another? When Plato, for example, writes the Republic, as we know, Plato is Socrates' student. Aristotle is Plato's student. If you ever want to remember these three, do you know which word to use? Spa. S-P-A. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Socrates was the teacher of Plato. Plato was the teacher of Aristotle. These great thinkers, Plato would discuss what he heard in the discussions that Socrates had. So you know that Socrates has these discussions concerning justice with a number of people, amongst them the likes of Glaucon, for example. They discuss, what is the definition of justice? Why do we need to establish justice? How can you ever establish justice? Is there a reality that one day you can live in a society which is perfectly just? Can there ever be a utopia? If we can establish a just society, what type of person is the one who leads that just society? And that's where, even when you look within the Quran emphasizes that justice is the bedrock of morality. Justice is the highest virtue in akhlaq. Someone says, what do you mean justice is the highest virtue in akhlaq? Justice can never ever be bad. There are other aspects of akhlaq which are good, but can also go wrong. Generosity. Generosity is something which is really nice, but you could be too generous to someone and ruin their life. True? Generosity is great, but you spoil someone, a father spoils their son too much. What then happens? You're saying, but I'm nice, I'm being generous, but you were too generous. There was a line which had to stop. Can you ever be too just? Can you ever be too just? Subhanallah. And who summarizes this wonderfully? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. In Nahj al-Balagha, there is a section at the end called the sayings of Imam Ali. So you have the sermons, the letters, and the sayings. In my copy of Nahj al-Balagha, saying number 446 of Nahj al-Balagha, when asked, Imam Ali is asked, which of the two is better, justice or generosity? Imam Ali says, justice puts things in their places, while generosity takes them out from their directions. Justice is the general caretaker, while generosity is a particular benefit. Consequently, justice is superior and more distinguished of the two. Subhanallah, you know what Imam is showing? Justice, in reality, is something natural. And everybody deserves it. Generosity is something unnatural. You need to beg someone to be generous sometimes, true? But you don't need to be begging someone to be just. Justice, we all believe that we deserve, true? Whereas generosity, you're like, bro, I beg you donate. It doesn't come as something natural for you to donate. You know what, I've done so much haram this year. Actually, yeah, I'm going to donate because I need to clean my sins. Okay, I'll donate. You see, with generosity, it's an unnatural move. Whereas with justice, it is something which you believe, any human believes, that everybody deserves. And that's why in Shi'i thought, of course, we are of the belief in Shi'i thought that justice is one of the usul al-deen. How many times do you hear when people talk about usul al-deen? How many usul al-deen are there in Shi'ism? We say that there are five usul al-deen. What's the first of the usul al-deen? Number one, what's the first pillar of the usul al-deen? Begins with T. Which one? Tawheed. Second one, adala. Third one, nubuwa. Fourth one, imama. The fifth one, qiyama or ma'ad. Look at the second one. Subhanallah. God, we believe in the oneness of God, and we believe that God is just. He would not leave us on this earth without examples of who to follow. He therefore sent prophets. Those prophets were 124,000. The last of them was the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon his family. He was succeeded by this man. And this man, his great grandson, will be there until the day of judgment, seeking to establish justice. Look how Tawheed, Adala, Nubuwa, Imama, Qiyama. For us, therefore, justice is fundamental. When Plato would talk about establishing justice, Plato, the way he would look at it would be by saying that when we're seeking to establish justice, and remember, this is on the basis of Socrates' discussions, and then Plato elaborates within the Republic even further towards the end. You're looking for somebody who has purified their soul. That person is somebody where the faculties within the soul of the human, whether they're two, whether they're three, whether they're four, that person has made sure that proper boundaries have been put to, for example, the faculty of reason, the faculty of anger, the faculty of imagination, the faculty of desire. That person, when they are able to purify their soul, their wisdom and their courage aligned with the purification of their soul allows them to be someone who establishes justice in society. Plato would refer to a concept known as the philosopher king. When you want someone to establish adala in a society, in Plato's terminology, that person is the philosopher king. For us, we call that person either a nebi or an imam. Why do we believe in anbiya and a'imma? For what reason? Prophets and imams, one of their roles was to establish justice on the earth. When they would see injustice, they would speak out against the injustice. And their role, therefore, was to make sure that any dhulm that was there, they would speak out against. Because what is justice? To put things in their rightful place. When I see in society, things are not in their rightful place, the meaning of justice is I put things in their rightful place. In the Quran, you'll see that God constantly talks about the role that we sent our prophets to establish justice. Plato said that the philosopher king is someone who has a level of reason and a level of wisdom which allows them to establish justice. Why does he have to have wisdom and reason and purify their soul? It's because if their soul is impure, their appetites and their desires begin to overtake their reason and wisdom. What do they then do? They then be unjust with people. They butcher people. They plunder the rights of people. The philosopher king is someone who's golden. That person is a rare breed. Notice our imams. Are they 77? 196? 85,000? 12 at most, because you don't get that type of person at most who is able to have that wisdom and that reasoning ability and that courage to establish that justice. Plato, therefore, everything he discusses, there is a similarity when we say Imam Ali Sawt al-Adala al-Insaniya. When I say that Imam Ali is the voice of human justice, Plato, the Greek philosopher, and Socrates had both discussed a pure soul, a man of wisdom, a man of courage, a man of reason. This man is the one who is the philosopher. He is the one, because what is philosophy? Philosophia, love of wisdom. The man who establishes justice is someone who God has given a certain amount of wisdom for them to make sure that when they make a ruling over those who are ruled, they are never zalim to that person. They are always adil to that person. They will never make a decision which puts a person wrongfully in prison or ends up putting the rights of somebody to someone else. When I therefore look within Nahj al-Balagha, you'll see that this is discussed by Imam Ali clearly in Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali makes it clear that, look, the first concept of establishing justice is somebody who is chosen and has the wisdom to establish that justice. In which sense? We're talking on the level of leadership of God on earth. In Sermon 108 of Nahj al-Balagha, towards the end of the sermon, Imam Ali says, we are the tree of prophethood, the staying place of the divine message, the descending place of the malaika, of the angels, minds of knowledge and the sources of wisdom. Our supporter and lover awaits mercy, while our enemy and he who hates us awaits wrath. Here, the first concept of the philosopher king can be seen with Imam Ali alayhi salam, where Imam Ali says that we Ahlul Bayt are not just Arabs or family of the Prophet. No. We are the tree of prophethood. How many times you hear about Shajarat al-Nubuwa? Yes? The tree of Nubuwa. We are the tree of prophethood. We are the place where the Risala sat. We are the place where the Malaika, the angels would descend. We are the minds of knowledge. Notice, not just ilm. Ilm is not enough for you to be just. You need hikmah as well. We are the minds of knowledge and the sources of wisdom. The first concept, therefore, in the worldview of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is that the Imam is somebody who God has given a wisdom where they are able to administer justice. But alongside this, not just wisdom, the person has to be courageous when they want to establish justice. You know, establishing justice is not easy, because you know what the easy way out is? Bro, I don't want to get involved. Yeah, but bro, there's dhulm. This person oppressed your brother. This person hurt your dad. This person oppressed your mom. Bro, you know what? I prefer not to get involved. This person ruined this guy's reputation. These people have made rumors about, bro, you know what? Wallah, to tell you the truth, I just don't want to get involved in community. A just person has to have a level of courage. Imam Ali alayhi salam, his justice in reality left him few friends. Because when you want to be just, people will start walking away from you. Because as human beings, we like people to be what? To stroke our egos. We don't want someone to say, hey bro, listen, if I'm going to be just, you're my boy, but you're wrong. But we don't like to say that, do you? Because you don't have the courage to say it. It's very difficult to say it. And you know who the first people are who you're scared to do it against? Family. When someone in your family is unjust, if someone in the community was unjust, all of us will be like, did you hear what he did? Did you hear what he did? Did you hear what he did? But when it's someone in our family, it's like, you know, I prefer not to talk about it. Hold on a minute. Justice begins at home. In the Quran and in Nahj al-Balagha, this is repeated. I've always said, whatever you see in the Quran, Imam Ali is the walking Quran explaining the verse. Do you know one of my favorite ayahs? If not my favorite ayah in the Quran, Surah 4, verse 135. Any of you who have iQuran, if you have the app iQuran, or you have a Quran on your phone, everybody at home, please, this is the month of the Quran, the month of looking at the verse of the Quran. If you ask me, Sayyid Ammar, what is your favorite ayah of the Quran? Surah 4, verse 135. Surah al-Nisa, verse 135. This verse highlights how important it is that you put things in their right places and be just, even if it's your own sister, brother, mother, father, uncle, grandfather who's been the zalim. Look what the ayah says. O you who believe, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qisti. O you who believe, be persistently standing firm in justice. Qawwamina. كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ Witnessing only for Allah. Not witnessing to please others. Witnessing only for Allah. Even if it's against you or your parents and your relatives. Reality is, how many of us, look at this ayah. O you who believe, be those who stand for justice. Witnessing for who? Witnessing for Allah. Allah is the one watching your action, not the community. You've seen a volume. Don't say, I'm scared what the community thinks. You know why? Because the worst amongst you will be the ones who rise to the top. Because you have allowed, by staying silent, the worst amongst you to rise. But sometimes, look what the Quran says, even if it's against yourself, your parents, or your relatives. Bro, hold on a minute. Are you telling me that I'm going to have to testify even against my mom and dad? If your mom and dad are being violent, you have to. Bro, my cousin, but he's my cousin. Like, you know, they're cousins. It doesn't matter. If someone has done something which is oppressive, you have to. If your brother wants to steal, your sister has oppressed someone's reputation, your father has been bad to someone, don't turn around and say, but bro, you know what? Their family. Quran said, O you who believe, you claim you have iman, then stand firm in justice, being a witness, not to the judge, not to the community, not to the family, only to Allah. Because ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's going to call you to task. And you know, Harvard Law School, they looked at this ayah and they put it in the Harvard Law School as the ayah of justice. Because the most difficult thing for a human to do is be just when his family are unjust. Difficult. For you to be just when your family has been what? Unjust. How many times do you hear people saying, you know what, okay, they were wrong, but they're still family. Shira, what is this? What's this mizan? What's this mizan? What do you mean? Oh, because their family, it doesn't matter if they've been oppressive. It doesn't matter if they were backbiting. It doesn't matter if they were rude. They're still my family. What do you mean they're still your family? You have to be just, even if it's your family. You have to put your hand up and say, listen, this person may be my family, but he got it wrong. The biggest test, Imam Ali, 222, Nahj al-Balagha. Go to Nahj al-Balagha, sermon 222. And inshallah, all of you at home now have got to that stage where Nahj al-Balagha, you are now bookmarking different parts of Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in Nahj al-Balagha, what's Imam Ali's brothers, three of them, what are they called? Imam Ali's brothers. Who could tell me? What's Imam Ali's brothers' names? His dad will give you a clue as to his eldest brother. So he is, what's his dad's name? Abu Talib. So the eldest brother would be Talib. Then after Talib, Aqil. Then after Aqil, Ja'far. Okay? So Ja'far al-Tayyar. In sermon 222 of Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali talks about when his brother came to him while he was Khalifa and needed a little something from the treasury for himself. Big test. What do I do? What do I do? My brother's the one coming to me and saying, listen, bro, you know, if you can just give us some of that inheritance which belonged to my sister. Oh, bro, can you just give me something like under the table without anyone realizing in the family? I won't tell anyone. Oh, bro, you know what? Can you, and you know, you work for the community. Can you maybe push my daughter ahead of their daughter because you're my brother? Look in Nahj al-Balagha what Imam Ali says. Look at this unbelievable line. Wallahi al-Azim Ali ibn Abi Talib. On justice, which Plato, which Socrates? Come to the man. Listen to what he says. By Allah, I would rather pass a night in wakefulness on the thorns of a plant having sharp prickles. I would rather spend a night awake on a very sharp plant. Imagine in your head now, a plant which has got those thorns. I would rather pass a night awake on the thorns of a sedan, a plant that has sharp prickles, or be driven in chains as a prisoner, then meeting Allah and His Messenger on the Day of Judgment as an oppressor over any person or a usurper of anything out of worldly wealth. How can I oppress anyone for the sake of a life that is fast moving towards destruction and is to remain under the earth for a long time? Ya Ammi, there's a day you're going to go 6 feet under the ground. You being unjust to your family, you being unjust to your community, you being unjust to your friends. Imam Ali says, I'd rather be chained up. I would rather sleep on a plant or stay awake on a plant in the night. In the night, don't you want to go to bed? How many of us want to go to the nicest mattress, the nicest? Make your qabr ready the way you've made your bedroom today. What is your grave going to be? It's going to depend on whether you've oppressed people or you haven't. Oppression doesn't mean only stealing money. Could be ghibah on someone you've done dhulm. Sometimes the qabr, the grave you're going to make, Imam Ali alayhi salam is making clear. I would rather pass a night awake on a plant which is so thorny or be driven in chains as a prisoner than to meet Allah and to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi having done dhulm to someone. Do you know how confident also you must be that you've never done dhulm to someone for you to say that line? He then says, how can I oppress someone for the sake of a life that in a few minutes is going to end? I've scammed someone. I took someone's wealth. I ruined someone's reputation. Baba, tomorrow morning I might not wake up. What's my last action then? Then he moves on. He says, but let me tell you just how hard it is. Remember what we said about Plato's Republic? There is a discussion about what is justice, but also moral justice, the practical application of justice. Look what Imam Ali says. You want to know how difficult it is to establish justice? My brother Aqil. My brother Aqil. My bro is in trouble. And he needs something from me because I'm Khalifa. And you know when you're Khalifa, or you're prime minister, or you're president, or you're a king, what's the easiest thing you could do? Listen, take some money out when everyone's asleep and just give it to my brother and look after him. True? If I'm in charge of a community, I could sign a check. My brother's in trouble. I could say, listen, give him the building contract for the mosque so we look after him. I can do anything I want when I'm president, when I'm prime minister, when I am a king. Imam Ali says, by Allah, I saw my brother Aqil fallen in destitution. And he asked me about 3 kilograms in weight of my share of wheat. Wheat. 3 kilograms of weight. And I also saw his children. Look how hard it is. Your bro. Your bro is your life. True? I saw his children. Their hair was disheveled. It was dusty due to starvation, as though their faces had been blackened by indigo. He came to me blackened by indigo. Imagine how much pain they must be in that they are feeling that particular color. He came to me several times and repeated his request to me again and again. Aqil is telling Mawla, he said, Mawla, listen, you're the Khalifa, give me something. Who's going to tell? How many times you forget that Allah is watching? Many times, true? You all know the story, which I'm going to come to shortly. Then he says what? He came to me several times and repeated his request to me again and again. I heard him and he thought I would sell my faith to him and follow his tread, leaving my own way. Then I heated a piece of iron, took it near his body so that he might take a lesson from it. Then he cried as a person in protracted illness cries with pain, and he was about to get burnt with its branding. Then I said to him, moaning woman, may moan over you, O Aqil. Do you cry on account of this heated iron, which has been made by a man for fun, while you are driving me to do towards that fire of Allah, the powerful, has prepared as a manifestation of his wrath? Should you cry from pain, but I should not cry from the flames? You, my brother, wanted me to take out this much as Khalifa, but if I am Sawt al-Adala, I am the voice of justice, then it begins with my own family first. His brother's telling him, please, just something. You know what Mawla does? He gets the hot iron. His brother touches it. Some reports were claiming that Aqil was blind. So when it came near Aqil, he's like, what's that? Mawla says, that is the thing that makes you scared. And Qiyamah's fire does not make you scared. You are telling me that when everyone's not watching, take from. Because how does injustice happen? How? Your desires, your appetite for dunya begin to overtake you. You then begin to put one thing in its wrong place. That wheat did not belong to Aqil. The fact had Mawla put it there, what would have happened? It would have begun the domino effect of that person not getting his ration, that person not getting his ration, that person not getting his ration. Where is justice? When I make sure that everybody, my bro, and someone who's not my family, are treated exactly the same. Aqil was thinking, but you're my brother. Surely you could just a little bit take it out. And that's why you all know the story when Talha and Zubair came to see Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he had the candle. When he had the candle, they said, we've come to see you over a private issue. And he went, and he put another candle. They're like, why did you just do that? He said, you have come to see me over a private issue. Therefore, I had to put a candle I've bought from my own money. That first candle was bought from the treasury of the Muslims. When you've come to see me over a private issue, I have to put a candle I bought from my own money. Because now it's our chill. I cannot use the Jama'at or the mosque's fund for my chill. How many people sit in mosques? The phone is free, but the phone is not meant to be used by you.
True?
This area is free. The drinks are there. Is it for your program or for another program? Don't take if it belongs to another program. No, 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 no. But you know what? We're here anyway. No, 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 no. That has been left for another program. You want to have the drinks there? Go to the newsagent, buy your own drinks. How much level of adala, justice, must you have that a candle is important to you? But do you know why it's important? Because he knows, if I use that candle, then it begins a movement of taking in a wrong way and being unjust that won't stop. Whereas if I put the candle in its right place, then I begin a positive movement. Because what are these virtues? One breeds the other. You perform something positive, it brings more positivity. You do something negative, the negativity continues. Therefore, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib's own brother, biggest test for you in life, by the way, and for those youth who are watching anywhere in the world, believe you me, you're going to face a day with your own family where haq, adala versus family is going to be the biggest test you're going to face in your life. It's going to be the biggest test. The Quran says it doesn't matter if it's family. If they are zalim, you say to them straight away, sorry, you've been unjust on this issue. Imam then does what? A just leader, family first. He preaches at home before he preaches to the world. Have I got my house in order? Yes. Now I talk to the whole world. The second thing, what does he do? The second thing is that he makes clear, what I'm about to do needs a lot of courage. Why? Because you know Imam Ali, who was the Khalifa before Imam Ali in Islamic history? Who was the Khalifa before him? Uthman. Uthman was before Imam Ali alayhi salam. When Uthman had been there, there was a lot of injustice when it had come to especially distribution of the wealth of the Muslims. The distribution of the wealth, certain people, there was nepotism involved where certain people were given positions unjustly. The person who used to lead Salah in Fajr in Kufa was drunk. You don't keep that guy to be governor of Kufa, but because he's Uthman's brother-in-law. And another one was given a position, but because he's Uthman's cousin. So you begin to see all of these people come, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, Walid ibn Uqba, all of these Umayyads, because Uthman ibn Affan, his cousins are Bani Umayyah. So a lot of the Umayyads were brought back. When the Umayyads were brought back, Imam Ali, when he talks about justice in Nahj al-Balagha, a lot of it is related to the fact that the Islamic government had made too many unjust choices. And therefore, Imam knew that, listen, what I'm about to do, you guys want justice? Do you really want it? They're like, you have to be Khalifa. Because remember, when Uthman died, they all came to Imam Ali. They're like, you have to be Khalifa. He's like, no, allow this. No, you have to be Khalifa. No, allow. You have to be Khalifa. They kept on begging Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. They kept on saying to him, Mawla, please, you have to be Khalifa. Mawla's thinking, which Khalifa? If I do justice, these guys will never handle it. They'll never handle it. Again, they said, please, Mawla, please, you have to be the one who establishes justice. Go to sermon 91 of Nahj al-Balagha. In sermon 91 of Nahj al-Balagha, Mawla begins to be very open on this particular issue. In sermon 91 of the Nahj, he begins to talk about the fact that when people came to me, listen to what he was saying when they came to him. Leave me and seek someone else. Allahu Akbar, Mawla. Enter, you were Imam from Ghadir Khum. Now we've waited 25 years. He's like, leave me. Go. I don't want it. Hold on, Mawla, but you are the Imam. Leave me. Seek someone else. We are facing a matter which has several faces and colors, which neither hearts can stand nor intelligence can accept. Clouds are hovering the sky, and faces are not discernible. You should know that if I respond to you, I would lead you as I know, and would not care about whatever one may say or abuse. If you leave me, then I am the same as you are. It is possible I would listen to and obey whomever you make in charge of your affairs. I am better for you as a counselor than as a chief. Ali ibn Abi Talib. I am better for you as a counselor than a chief. Hold on, Mawla. You are the chief of chiefs. No. I'm better for you as a counselor than a chief. They're like, Mawla, hold on, what's going on? I thought you... No. What's going on is that you people can never take my justice, because I'm going to put the right person in the right position. That is adala. How many times you hear of a government and they make the minister of sports someone who's never kicked a football? So you look at this guy, you're like, this guy is minister of sports. He looks like he hasn't even seen a gym or a leisure center or a football pitch the whole of his life. True? How many times have you seen this? You'll always see, I remember this in different positions, by the way, even in our mosques, even in our local community centers, they put someone in a position. Why is that person being put in that position? You know, his sister's married to my cousin. No, hold on. But justice dictates that he's the person who should be fit for the job. Why did Imam Ali say, leave me, ask someone else, keep me as a chief, not as a counselor? Some said, you see, you say that Imam Ali alayhi salam should be Imam. He doesn't want to be Imam. No, he's already Imam from Ghadir. What Imam Ali is saying over here is that what I'm going to do with my justice, it's going to be something courageous, but many of you will not accept it. Who were the first two who turned against him? Talha and Zubair. Talha and Zubair turned against him straight away. Why did they turn against him? We should be there. We are the ones who should be there in the government position. We are the ones who have been there since the beginning. He said, Baba, but you're not fit for this position. I think there are people better than you. I think Malik al-Ashtar is better than you. I think Ibn Abbas is better than you. I think Kumail ibn Ziyad is better than you. I think Muhammad bin Abu Bakr is better than you. Ah, that's why he said this line. You should know that if I respond to you, I would lead you as I know and would not care about whatever one may say or abuse. Do you know why? Just leaders should not care about what their community thinks. They should only care about what Allah thinks. Very difficult, mind you. Very difficult for a person to be a just leader when in reality, you're going to lose friends in the community. Believe you me, if now today I was the head of a Husseiniya or the head of an Imam Barga, and I said that the secretary is so-and-so, you'll see people saying, I told you, don't invite him home anymore. Oh, we don't like him anymore. Imam knew that whoever I am going to establish justice with, believe you me, they will not be able to handle that justice. But at the same time, whoever I appoint as governor, I will check everything they do. Because the most important thing for me in my government is that the governor isn't my boy. If he makes a mistake, I'll reprimand him more than I'll reprimand anyone else. In Nahjul Balagha, there are letters, not just sermons, not just sayings. There are letters. Go to letter 51 and 52 of Nahjul Balagha. In letter 51, my dear brothers and sisters, these are letters which Imam Ali wrote to his governors. Why? If a prime minister doesn't check the actions of his ambassadors in a country and those ambassadors are allowed to let loose, then you'll see that injustice will spread throughout that government. Letter 51, Nahj al-Balagha. Try and get there. You'll see how Imam Ali alayhi salam, letter 51 and letter 52 of Nahj al-Balagha, Imam writes to who? Look at letter 51. Imam writes to the collectors of land tax. He has people who collect tax from land. From the servant of Allah, Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, to the tax collectors. So now, he who does not fear where he is going, does not send forward for himself that which could protect him. You should know that the obligations laid on you are a few, while their reward is much. Even if there had been no punishment for revolt and disobedience, which Allah has prohibited, the reward in keeping aloof from it would be enough to abstain from going after it. Behave yourselves justly. Which word? Behave yourselves justly with the people and act with endurance with regard to their needs, because you are the treasurers of the people, representatives of the community, and the ambassadors of the imams. Do not deprive anyone of his needs and do not prevent him from securing his requirements. For the collection of tax from the people, do not sell their winter or summer clothes, nor cattle with which they work, nor slaves. Do not whip anyone for the sake of one dirham. Do not whip anyone for what? For the sake of what? One dirham. Sometimes you'll have some people who were representatives of a prime minister or president. Wallah, they were putting people under slavery or oppressing them because one dirham they didn't pay rent or something. One dirham. Imam Ali says, don't whip someone for the sake of a dirham. Rather, have a soft heart when you're dealing with people. Yes? Do not touch the property of any person, whether he be one who prays or is a protected unbeliever, Muslim or non-Muslim. Don't touch their property unless you find a horse or weapons which are going to be used to attack the religion of Islam. Sometimes what people would do is they'll say, this person's a Christian, let's go and take his house because he's a kafir. True? Or they'll put the word Christian outside his house and say that one's a Jew or that one's a Christian. It's halal for us to take from them. Imam Ali says, do not touch the property of any person, be he someone Muslim or not Muslim. Do not deny good counsel to yourself, good behavior to the army, succor to the subjects, and strength to the religion of Allah. So here he writes this to the tax collectors. Why would he write this to tax collectors? Because the first place you can have corruption in your government are those who are collecting taxes from people. They can bully people. They could tell you, if you've not put your taxes, I'm going to put you in prison. Imam Ali writes to them that, listen, I am just. I expect you to be just as well with the people. Then Imam Ali, letter 52, to the governors of various places concerning prayer. You know, to be just, you also need to be a person of taqwa. Imam says it's not just about administering justice. Don't miss your salah as well, because your prayer is a foundation of your adala. Letter 52, Nahj al-Balagha. Now say dhuhr with the people. Who's this? To his governor. Because you know sometimes what happens when you're a governor of a country. You know what? I'm hosting parties, I'm hosting dinners, I'm hosting lavish events. Imam Ali says, but your salah, I beg you, because if you fear Allah, then you will behave properly with the creations of Allah. I always say that in Islam, the ones who don't pray, I never trust them. You know why? Because if they don't respect God, how are they going to respect me? If they can't go down in sujood and say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih, what they gonna, they're not going to respect me. They're not going to respect me. They're going to be like, who are you? I don't even go down to your God. Imam tells his governors, say dhuhr with the people when the shade of the wall of the goat's pen is equal to the wall. Say asr prayers with them when the sun is still shining in a portion of the day. Say maghrib prayers when he who is fasting ends his fast and the pilgrim rushes from Arafat to Mina. Say isha prayers with them when the twilight disappears and up to one third of the night. Say fajr prayers with them when a man can recognize the face of his companion. Say the prayers with the people as the weakest of them would do, and do not be a source of trouble to them. Subhanallah, why do we pray Salat al-Jama'ah? Sometimes our Jama'ah, we only read Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Ikhlas and Kawthar. Other schools in Islam, Baqarah, Al-Imran, An'am, the Jama'ah goes on for 26 minutes. Our Jama'ah, our Mawlana, MashaAllah, maybe the longest surah he ever read is Jum'ah or Munafiqun. True? Other schools in Islam, they read the longer surahs. Imam, even when it came to the weakest person in Jama'ah, don't make it long, because that weak person cannot do a long Jama'ah. Subhanallah, even adala in Salat al-Jama'ah. Say the prayers with the people as the weakest of them would do, and do not be a source of trouble to them. Notice, his governors, Imam Ali alayhi salam, will make it clear that my governors, I will make sure that I'm in touch with each of them, and I want each of them to be somebody who continues to establish justice and does not neglect the people of his time. Therefore, taking all of this on board, what do we see in the worldview of Imam Ali alayhi salam? In the worldview of Imam Ali, similar to Plato, the person who leads the state has to be a man of wisdom, has to be a man of courage, for justice's two best friends, what are they? Justice's two best friends are wisdom and courage. A man must be a man of a pure soul. A man must be a man who practices what they preach. They must establish justice first with their families, then with the community. Justice is to put the right thing in its rightful place and to make sure that even those governors who you've appointed are the ones who represent you in the best of ways, by making sure that they are the ones who establish justice on the earth. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow with the discussion of another topic in Nahj al-Balagha. Try and be just to each and every one of you, and try and spread the word of justice for each and every household is one of the most important words to be spread. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.